Amen. Psalm 34. I want us to read all the way through verse 10. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10, and then I will give the title of the message. It says this. This is King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, writing. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and became radiant, and their faces are not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for the ones who fear him will not be in need. The young lions are in want and suffer hunger, but the ones who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on, have you tasted the Lord? Have you tasted the Lord? Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd help me to express your heart to this, your people. And I pray that through this message today, you would reach, Lord God, the hearts of those that maybe have never partaken. I ask that you would bless, Lord God, the preaching of your word. We ask that you would give us ears that hear in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. King David was known to be the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the writer of many of the psalms in the book of Psalms. Of course, he didn't write all. But the psalms themselves were songs. They were songs that were written in worship and praise to God. Some of the songs were praise songs. Others were songs of mourning. Some of the songs were songs to encourage, others were to bring insight to the dealings of the Lord in a person's life. David was a songwriter because God obviously had given him a gift, but it was there as he would take care and tend his father's sheep that David began to write. He began to worship the Lord in secret. It's amazing how God begins to fashion and to form and make kings in secret where nobody else sees. Sometimes it's the insignificant one that God ends up choosing, just like he did with David. But David's heart for the Lord was birthed. It was developed in the secret place. It was developed when no one else was around, he alone with God and the sheep. He would worship the Lord there all alone, and God's heart was given to him, to be honest with you, because David gave his own heart to God. Now, in that place of worship, God began to develop David. God began to allow him to go through situations to see God's power in his life. There was a time when a bear tried to attack the flock, and David killed that bear with his bare hands. It's amazing. A lion tried to do the same, and there was David in the power of the Holy Spirit destroying the enemy. But God allowed him to go through these things to show him that God would be with him even through the bigger experiences of life. David, of course, when confronting Goliath, would say, you can talk against the God of Israel only so much, but he is with me and you will be destroyed because of what you have done, in essence, right? Paraphrasing. And because of his experience with God, he knew God would back him up, and through his faith, he would eventually bring down a giant. David developed this faith and this relationship with God in the secret place. He knew God. He had experienced God. He didn't know God just because everyone else told him about God, but he himself had partaken of a relationship with God Almighty. It was a real relationship. It was tangible. It grew. It was developed over time. And there was a season in David's life at the writing of this particular psalm when David was running away from King Saul. David was running from a madman. King Saul was using every opportunity that he could to try to kill him. I mean, it's really a scary, sad story, to be honest with you. There were times when King Saul would try to throw a javelin and pierce him through to kill him, but of course David would escape. David is running for his life. He's now in the wilderness, and in this particular season, he actually goes to one of the kings of the Philistines. And as he's there in this place about to stand before the king, Achish, I think is his name, or Achish or something like that. You can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15 if you would like. That's the backstory to this psalm. He's there before the king, and as he's there standing before this king of the Philistines, they begin to say, "This is David. He's the one that they have said that Saul has killed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands." And so there's this statement about David. There's this mighty man of war right here in your midst. And yet, here's David running away from a king who wants to kill him. And now he's before another king of the Philistines. And the fear grips him. All of a sudden, he grows afraid. And we don't know exactly why, except for that there he is, standing before this king, and this fear grips him. He grows afraid, and he doesn't know what to do. And so, in order to get out of the midst of this situation, David himself begins to pretend to be mad. He begins to act like he's insane. He begins to act like a madman. And all of a sudden he begins to throw himself and act like he's in convulsions. He begins to allow his spit to come out and go all over his beard. And the king says, "Why is this man here? I have enough madmen around here. I don't need another one." And so David escapes out of the midst. And when we look at this story, we see David, the man of God that he was, in a moment of weakness. And I don't know about you, but I know I've experienced those times of weakness. I mean, just this week, I start wondering, "Lord, am I ever going to be able to walk again?" I mean, it was horrible, this back pain that I went through a little bit. But sometimes in our weaknesses, we begin to realize our dependence upon God. That really only God is able to carry us through what we will go through. Amen? But David is here in the midst of a situation. He's afraid of this king. Is he going to try to kill me too? And so he pretends to be mad and he ends up getting out of this situation. And after he pretends this madness before this king, it's actually King Abimelech, he eventually drove him away and he gets out of there. But look at the way David responds to it. See, in the midst of it, he's pretending to be mad, but God is still Almighty God in his life. And even though he was weak and did something that maybe he shouldn't have done, in the midst of it all, God was the one delivering him from all of his enemies. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to deliver you from all of your enemies, but there is something about God here that I want you to see that is very important. And it is that David didn't just know about God, he had experienced God. And in verse 8, he brings out this exclamation, and you can hear it because it's coming from his gut, it's coming from his heart. And he says in verse 8, "Oh, that." Look what it says, "Oh." He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Verse 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord." It's coming like out of a yearning, out of a place of, "Oh, if you could only understand like I know. If you could understand and experience God like I have, you would begin to understand that you can taste and see that the Lord is good." But there is times, and I'm here to tell you, that we can sometimes attend our churches and we can warm our pews and we can be around such a beautiful gift. We can know all about the packaging of that gift. We can talk about the shine of the gift. We can talk about the bow that covers that gift and we can say, "What a beautiful gift it is." But until you actually go to that gift and begin to unwrap it and experience it for yourself, you have not experienced that gift. And David in this verse says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." There are times that we, when we're growing up, we can have our own misgivings about certain kinds of food. Anybody been there before? And when you see someone put a plate of food in front of you and you think, what is that? And sometimes you can look at everyone else enjoying that food and you start looking at it and you think, man, if I could just taste it. But you'll never know what it tastes like until you get a piece of it and put it in your mouth. Amen? I remember one time being at a Mexican restaurant in Port Lavaca, Texas, and someone said, these are tripas. They said, do you want to taste it? And I said, okay. And I gave it the chance, and I tasted those tripas, man. And when I tasted them, man, were they good. I said, have mercy, those are good. So if they ever offer me tripas again, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to taste and know that it's good. Not only just it's through knowledge, I mean, it's experience. But until we take the time to taste it, we will never know how good it is. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to make himself so real to you as an individual. But it will never happen until you as an individual take the time to taste and see. It's amazing to me that there can be people that attend churches, and I'm not talking about anybody here, but they can be in church and they can smell the fragrance of that food. They can go even to others and describe the food and say, it looks like this. It's even made this way. They got the recipe on how to make it. It's there. They know all about it. But they themselves have never tasted and seen. What do you mean, Pastor James? Are there really people inside church that can say all the right things and describe everything about God and even having a relationship with God, having never had a relationship themselves? Yes. And this week, it's really troubled me. And I'm not thinking of anyone here. Hear what I'm saying. But I was troubled this week to think that there could be individuals so close with the ability to taste it. They have known all about it. They've grown up all around it. They look at it. They say the right things about it because they've heard everybody else talk about it. But they themselves have never taken a piece of that thing and tasted it. They've never had a true personal experience of God. And it's a sobering thing for me to think that there will be some people that will stand before God and say, but I was all around you, Lord. I heard the stories. I told the stories myself. But then Jesus will say, I never knew you. Boy, that's a sobering thought to me. David, as a young boy, tending his father's flocks, had experienced God, and his relationship with God grew. They say that when he had built his own house, that his living quarters, his bedroom area, had a big window, and he would leave the window open at night. And at a particular time every night, they say a breeze would blow through the window. And that breeze would go right through the strings of his harp and it would begin to hum. And the humming noise would wake David up out of his sleep. And he would get up and take that harp into his hands and begin to play and begin to sing psalms to the Lord. His relationship with God was for real. And I'm convinced that the more that we know God, the more that we will worship him. The more that we know God like David, we will be worshipers just like David was. But David, in the midst of a hard time in his life, I mean, he pretended to be insane. In the backdrop of that, he writes this psalm. Look at verse 1 again, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I want you to say all times. That means when the times aren't going to our way exactly, what do? We bless him anyways. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and became radiant, and their faces are not ashamed. This poor man, he's describing himself, cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him and delivers them. And then he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He had experienced the Lord. He's had an experience, a growing relationship, so that now he's saying to whoever would listen, taste and see that the Lord is good. I remember when I first came to Jesus, I didn't understand a lot. I really didn't understand a lot, but my relationship began to grow. I accepted Jesus after hearing about how I needed to be saved by hearing Billy Graham on TV. I accepted him after hearing evangelist Billy Graham. I remember when we were younger, we would talk about the end of the world and the mark of the beast and the rapture, and I would get scared. And I remember one time I even told my cousin Paul, I said, come on, let's get saved now. How do we get saved? And he says, oh, but we'll wait for a second chance. So he never told me how to get saved. Crazy Paul. But I remember after receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior, they said prayer is talking to God, and I began to talk with the Lord and began to walk with him. And I remember, what day is today? The 27th. I remember August the 29th in 1993. It was rainy like it is typically around this time of the year. You know, it's all rainy and moist, and it was one of those days. But it was a Sunday morning, and it was when we were having baptisms at Hot Creek. And I remember I said to the Lord, Lord, when I get baptized in the water, I don't want it to be raining. I said, Lord, when I get baptized, can the sun be out when I get baptized? And so I remember driving down the hill to the river, or the creek. And I remember driving down, it was raining, real misty. I remember we stopped there. We were singing some songs. I remember one of the got baptized, they came out still raining. The next one got baptized, still raining a little bit. Then it was my turn. And I remember right when I was walking to go get baptized in the water, all of a sudden the rain, the mist had stopped. And all of a sudden the sun peeked through the cloud. Amen. And I remember the sun was shining and I went into the water. And I remember I got dunked in, got good and wet. I came out of that water. And I remember I was walking out of the creek. Then the sun went back behind the clouds and it started raining again. I'm not trying to say that I'm anything special, please believe me. But I asked the Lord for a specific thing and he gave it to me. And what that was an experience with God. I was tasting and I was learning of the goodness of God in my life. I remember when I went to Bible school, I had some big old bags. I mean, heavy old suitcases. And they weren't these nice ones that you get nowadays where you get the wheels and just carry them along, you know, real nice. It was those old ones you had to carry. And there was big, heavy ones, and I was taking it there. And I said, Lord, these are heavy. Can you give me help? Have someone just be there to help me. And I remember every time we'd stop at a bus stop, because I rode the bus, Greyhound, we stopped there and I'd have to get the bags to move from one bus to the other or whatever. And I remember every single time I would have my bags and all of a sudden there would be a gentleman and say, hey, would you need some help to carry that bag? I say, sure. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so I never really had to carry those bags. I mean, I carried one of them, but somebody else helped me carry enough and God provided. I remember I wanted a yearbook. And when I was there at the Bible school, I didn't have a lot of money. Amen? And I remember I worked on the yearbook. I had worked hard on the yearbook. And I said, Lord, I want one of those yearbooks. It costs $50. Lord, I don't got 50 bucks. So I said, Lord, give me a yearbook. And I remember I was praying, and I told the Lord. I didn't tell any other soul about it. And I remember one day, I went into my room, and there was an envelope on the table. And it just said, James. Opened it up, $50 inside the envelope to buy my yearbook. Amen? I was experiencing God. Another time, I was at the Timothy House. We were helping with the program there. And, you know, coming from Capulin, Colorado, tiny town, USA. You know, some people have a town of what, like 30,000? They say, oh, I come from a small town. I'm like, that's gigantic compared to Cap. So I remember I was there after Timothy House, and they said, you know what, you're going to have to go back to Times Square Church from there. And Timothy House was in Spanish Harlem. And so we would have to get a taxi from there to get all the way back to Manhattan. And so I was nervous, and I said, Lord, I've never known how to get a taxi. I don't know what to do. You know, you see the television shows, and they go and wave the taxi down, and I didn't even know how to do that. And so I remember I said, and I remember I got on my knees there at one of the bunk beds, and I said, Lord, will you, when we go outside, will you bring a taxi cab right to the front so I don't have to go and call it? And so I remember me and Tim Williams, was the pastor of the church at the school. We walked out the door on our way, and right when we were walking down the steps to go to the street, there came a taxi. I mean, it just stopped and said, hey, you guys need a ride? We said, sure. God was answering my prayers. Those were simple prayers, but I was experiencing God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you can taste and see that the Lord is good. God isn't a legalist. He's not going to say to you, I want you to dress this way, I want you to do this and do that. He wants you to experience Him for yourself. And as He has your heart, He will begin to change you from the inside out. Amen? That's the God that we serve. It's not legalism we're trying to portray here. I'm not trying to force people into church or try to make people to look a particular way and dress a particular way. No, it's not about that. I'm here to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And as you have a relationship with Him that begins to grow, He will begin to change your life. Amen? And He will begin to make you and allow you to go through things, and you will experience things in your life that you will be able to testify to someone else and say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? And so this morning, I'm here to tell you, if maybe you've been around the food for a long time, you've smelled the whiffs of it. Smells good, but you've never partaken of that gift. Maybe some have been around it for years that it seems so normal to be around it that it must be that I've tasted, but you've never actually taken a piece of that and tasted it. Then this morning I want to encourage you to don't let another day go by without tasting Him. Amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Give Him that chance. You know, I had printed out other versions and I left it in my printer. But one of the versions says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Another one says, taste and see how happy those are that will follow the Lord. Amen? Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy, where it says here, blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. In other words, happy. You know, whenever you read in Matthew chapter 5, blessed, the Beatitudes, remember those blesseds? All of that means happy. I'm going to tell you that God wants to make you happy in your heart. Amen? He wants to give you true satisfaction in your life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Let's stand this morning.